just about the weekend, and it's just about time to celebrate. Well, good morning. I'm Eric Carpenter, and this is KCVL KCRK. Oh, my goodness, was it ever foggy last night? The fog kind of rolled in and couldn't see where you were going. Didn't matter if you were on 395 or some of the side roads. It made driving slow and difficult. There was some crazy driving yesterday afternoon on 395, a two-vehicle accident. This about 2:41 yesterday afternoon. The accident itself occurred 6 miles south of Chewila on 395, but that's not where it all started. A vehicle, it was driving northbound on 395 down at Hatch Road, just north of Spokane. High rate of speed. State Patrol trooper observed it. The trooper overtook the vehicle at Half Moon. Well, that's when this vehicle went through the gas station. It didn't slow down going through the gas station, re-entered 395 northbound. Again, the trooper attempted to stop the vehicle at Wild Rose. The vehicle fled the stop. At that point, the trooper observed the vehicle but did not pursue. It's kind of turning into one of those dangerous situations. Well, the vehicle continued northbound, a high rate of speed, driving very erratically near collisions at Dragoon. And the oncoming lane continued north, got into Stevens County, continued northbound. The Stevens County unit attempted to stop the vehicle. It again fled at a high rate of speed. It then attempted to pass another vehicle on the shoulder approaching Roscomb Road. Well, that's when it struck another vehicle. The driver that was going at high rates of speed being pursued, Trenton Rose, a 20-year-old from Spokane. He was transported to St. Joseph's. He was not wearing a seatbelt. Charges still pending there. A William Barr was a passenger, an 18-year-old from Spokane, a 19-year-old Olivia Bryant from Spokane, also a passenger. They were both transported to St. Joseph's. The vehicle that was hit, being driven by 47-year-old Benjamin Renfro from Evans, he was wearing his seatbelt. He was not injured. So that was the action down in North Spokane County on into Stevens County and ultimately the collision 6 miles south of Chewila yesterday, shortly before 3 o'clock.
There's a new real estate firm in Colville. 4 Degrees Real Estate, based in Spokane, has opened their first branch office in Colville. The agents at 4 Degrees Real Estate have the experience you need and want when it comes to selling or buying real estate in the Tri-County area, whether it's homes or land or commercial. From start to finish, 4 Degrees agents advocate for their clients with professionalism and understanding. Call branch managing broker Len Brandt at 509-680-3916 to schedule a no-obligation meeting to find out the value of your home or to learn more about real estate investing. 4 Degrees Real Estate, your new choice for real estate in Northeast Washington.
It just depends on who you ask, who you talk to. ESG. A lot of people have very definite opinions about this idea. What is it? It affects all aspects of society, commerce, could totally change how we do things here in the United States. Let's learn a little more about ESG from the independent rancher's perspective. What it is, what it means, and maybe how you could get involved.
I am Bill Bullard. I'm the CEO of RCAP USA, which is a national organization representing cattle producers and sheep producers. So prior to the ESG, which stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance Standards, we had the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef that was trying to get ranchers and farmers to begin reporting on their emissions. In other words, they were doing the same thing before ESG with the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. But then the ESG came about and covered the entire economy, not just the cattle beef industries, and they essentially maintain the same standards. So what they're trying to do is impose arbitrary environmental, social, and governance standards on producers. They want producers to report their greenhouse footprint, if you will. And once the reporting occurs, they want to measure how much emissions are emanating from a farm or ranch. And once they can measure, they'll begin to regulate and they can begin to control farmers and ranchers. So we fall back to the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef that wanted to get farmers and ranchers on this road to continual improvement. And now we have the ESG that's laying the map out of how a farmer rancher achieves this continual improvement. And you find out where along the path they are, and that's the measurement. And then you have the regulatory aspect when they will begin to say, well, that's not good enough. Whether you can afford it or not, we need you to take these additional measures. And that's why this is a real threat to the independence and freedom of American farmers and ranchers. And now you have our own government, because we've already seen what happened in the Netherlands and Ireland. There, they required the reporting. They began to measure. Through the measurements, they determined that they needed to depopulate hundreds of thousands of cattle, and they began doing that. And so we know it's happening on a global scale. It's now being brought to the United States through the United States Securities and Exchange Commission that is promulgating a rule. And the rule has three levels. And the third level, they're calling Scope 3, is they're requiring publicly traded corporations to report the emissions of their suppliers. In other words, the SEC is trying to tacitly authorize meatpackers to impose reporting and measurement requirements on farmers and ranchers. And that's a huge danger. So we're pushing back on that hard. But that's how the ESG, which again, I call them arbitrary environmental, social, and governance standards, and that's what they are. And nevertheless, we have the World Banks that are imposing those standards on corporations to determine who does and who does not get financing. And now we're seeing that pushed further down to the grassroots level, and it's beginning to affect farmers and ranchers. So it's a real threat. Farmers and ranchers need to begin pushing back. Otherwise, what they're going to find is far more regulations imposed upon them that will eventually force them out of business. And it goes to, you know, the ranchers have had to deal with riparian areas before. It may require more fences. It may require less grazing in some areas, even though those areas are perfectly capable and suited for a higher grazing rate. It's an imposition on their day-to-day management and their animal husbandry practices. They may impose conditions on what kind of feed. It could go so far as to impose the kind of genetics that they want a producer to begin to utilize. So the potential list is unlimited. What they could impose under the guise of trying to save the planet, which they believe that the beef industry is a major contributor, which they're not. They're in fact a solution, not the problem. But nevertheless, we have those in suits who have no idea what's happening on the farms and ranches are trying to impose these arbitrary conditions. It doesn't matter if it's the government or the corporations that are controlling the marketplace, but what they both would need in order to control cattle producers is a mandatory radio frequency identification program, because that's the only means by which they have to measure where a farmer or rancher would fit along this road to continual improvement. And they're using the argument that they need this RFID to improve traceability because of the increased risk of importing a foreign animal disease through our relaxed border restrictions. And so essentially what the government is saying is we no longer want to prevent the introduction of the disease. We will just continue importing from high-risk countries, and will force our American cattle producers to manage the disease after it gets here. And that's essentially the argument they're making for the need for RFID. Fact of the matter is we already have a traceability system that has been working and utilized and has allowed the United States to eradicate some of the most pernicious diseases that are still circulating around the world. So it isn't needed. We have a disease traceback program now. It's effective, but the government wants to go further. The issue here is control. The government wants to control, and the imposition of a radio frequency identification mandate is how they would achieve that control. So we're urging producers to push back. We understand the state veterinarian is going to believe that he can trace back further faster. Fact of the matter is he can trace back. That's what he needs to do. And he does not need to impose a costly, burdensome mandate on independent cattle producers. The meat packers are essentially controlling and dictating policy regarding the cattle industry. And the meat packers find it extremely profitable to source cheaper beef and cattle from foreign developing countries than it is to rely upon independent cattle producers in America who are producing the best beef in the world under the best of conditions. But follow the money. The meat packers want to continue importing regardless of the risk of disease introduction from foreign countries. And they have such tremendous political power in Washington that they're able to sway public policy positions to their benefit. And that's what's happening here. We have to go to our decision makers. We can start at the county level, go to the county commissioners, have them pass a resolution, say that the government shall not mandate radio frequency identification on Washington cattle producers. And they can do that up the line, go to the state legislator. Very importantly, they need to continue calling their members of Congress, because ultimately it is Congress that can either further this or stop this. We want Congress to stop it. But they have to hear from producers. If producers don't tell Congress what they do not want, Congress will not.
All right. That's how ESG's, affecting and going to affect the cattle industry. This program is way bigger than just the cattle industry. It's going to come down to when you and I want to go to the bank and get a loan. They're going to want that ESG, all that information, and it is going to change American society. It is something that you want to become aware of and make your voice known about the environmental social governance plan that is being promoted.
Are you suffering with low back pain, neck pain, or headaches? Are any of these issues preventing you from enjoying your families and the holiday season? You don't have to fight through the holidays. In fact, at Monumental Chiropractic, we believe the last thing you should have to focus on is pain. We provide a patient-centered approach that gets to the root cause of your condition, corrects it, and gets you back to focusing on what's most important to you. Monumental Chiropractic offers a drug-free, non-surgical approach to healthcare. If you or someone you love is suffering with pain, give us a call at 509-684-6522.
Well, the poor 737 MAX plane by Boeing. You know, it was grounded for so long. They had their computer issues, a couple of crashes. Well, now Boeing is strongly urging airlines to inspect every 737 MAX aircraft for a critically important bolt that may be either loose or missing. An international airline noticed a missing nut during a routine safety inspection, and they did more inspections. They found another missing nut, and that's when Boeing sent out the alert. About 14,000 737 MAX jets are flying every day all around the world, all of them made right here in Washington over at Renton. And for right now, they all have to be taken out of service for a safety inspection. Takes about 2 hours per plane to do this inspection. The FAA, they say the bolt holds the rudder control system, which stabilizes the plane when it's flying.
You know the name Tempur-Pedic. If you have a bad back, you may already own one. The back pain relief is legendary. I have a secret for you. Tempur-Pedic mattress support system also provides a good night's sleep. You don't have to wait for a bad back. You can get a good night's sleep now. Don't take my word for it. Ask somebody who owns one. Come to Sandra's for a 7-minute test rest, and we'll change your life forever. Sandra's Furniture, downtown Colville.
Makes me kind of wonder, because here lately, it just happens to be a lot of the flights I've been taking have been on the MAX plane, and it's a really nice airplane. But it makes you think twice. All right, big weather story this year, extremes in rainfall. Overall, Washington going to finish the year well below average for rainfall. Here are the interior areas. They are having the rain deficit anywhere between 3 and 11 inches. Over on the Washington coast, even drier. They say it's a shortfall between 13 and 24 inches. Of course, parts of Washington were in severe to extreme drought earlier this summer. Wildfire smoke, of course, returned to the region some mid-August, making it 6 out of the last 7 summers with wildfire smoke and poor air quality. First part of December this year, I mean, we're really wet. That helped make a dent in the drought with the current conditions, now listed as moderate drought. The atmospheric river of warm rain, of course, that resulted in some flooding and a lot of snow melt, even up in the upper elevations of the mountains. That river of water came through, SeaTac had 2.4 inches of rain December 5th. That was the wettest day of the year for them. Olympia got 3 inches of rain in one day. Over at Quileute, near Forks, they got over 4 inches of rain December the 4th. In fact, they had some mountain locations. They measured 10 inches of rain that first week of December. The year, this 2023, started with a rare third La Nina year. La Nina, where the sea surface temperatures in the eastern Pacific tropical waters are cooler than normal. And that results in Pacific storm tracks spending more time at our latitude, sometimes surging the cooler air into the region, the cold air from the interior of Western Canada. Of course, that got the temperatures down in January, February this year. La Nina winter faded away. And again, the summer, it was another warm one. August, pretty warm. In fact, got darn right hot. Olympia got to 100 degrees August 15th. 95 in Seattle August 15th and 16th. Over at Hoquiam, they don't get 93 degrees very often. They get 93 degrees August 15th. Even Forks got to 94. But now this fall, we're heading in with El Nino. El Nino, when that eastern Pacific tropical waters are warmer than average. And normally that means we're going to have a warmer than normal winter. Kind of looks like the trend is unfolding that way. Below average mountain snowpacks so far. Snow amounts up in the mountains way below average for this date. The water equivalent in the snowpack, they are saying, depending on the measuring locale, 30 to 60% of average. So kind of how 2023 played out weather-wise.
Vaughan Brothers Lumber, a leader in the forest products industry, is now offering a free forest health checkup. If you have 10 or more acres of timberland, Vaughan Brothers Lumber can help you determine if your family's forest is healthy and fire resilient. Schedule your free forest evaluation today by calling Vaughan Brothers Lumber at 684-5071. Vaughan Brothers Lumber, adding value to the forest for people, products, and the environment.
The Eastern Washington Eagles defeated Portland State Vikings 91-57 last night. The Eagles, they're now 5-7 with that win. The Vikings fall to 9-4. WSU, they take on Utah tonight. That'll be at 5:30. We'll have Cougar basketball. That'll be on KCVL. Catcher Mitch Garver and the Mariners finalizing a $24 million two-year contract. The 32-year-old hit 270 with 19 homers, 50 RBIs in 87 games for Texas this past year. He hit 226 with 3 homers, 14 RBIs, and 14 postseason games, helping the Rangers win the World Series for the first time. Well, Cal Raleigh was Seattle's starting catcher this past year. He set career highs with 30 homers, 75 RBIs, and 145 games. So it may be Garver seeing at-bats as a designated hitter and backing up Raleigh behind the plate. The 12th-ranked Sooners turned the ball over 6 times last night, allowed 14th-ranked Arizona to rally from an 11-point third-quarter deficit. It was Arizona getting the win 38-24 in the Alamo Bowl last night. A lot of the college football bowl action today. The Gator Bowl, it'll be Clemson taking on Kentucky. That gets underway at 9 in the morning. The Sun Bowl at 11 o'clock. Oregon State will take on 16th-ranked Notre Dame down in El Paso, Texas. The Liberty Bowl at 12:30 this afternoon, Iowa State versus Memphis, that in Memphis. And the Cotton Bowl tonight, 5 o'clock on ESPN. Number 7 Ohio State takes on 9th-ranked Missouri in Arlington, Texas. Colville Hawks, they lost boys basketball, lost to West Valley 68-21. That in basketball down at West Valley, non-conference game. Colville, they take on Liberty this afternoon. That'll be 3:30 playing at West Valley. And league action for Colville starts Saturday the 6th. That'll be against Medical Lake. On the radio this evening, it'll be Tico Rosalia Chawila. The Cougars on the radio at 4:30 this afternoon. Tico Rosalia Chawila basketball, 4:30, that'll be on 92.1 KCRK. Today's local weather forecast brought to you by Easy Knit Fabrics. They're having their 5th Saturday green bag sale. That's coming up tomorrow. If you bring your green bag, you're going to get 20% off whatever will fit in the bag. There are a few exceptions. Patchy fog continuing. A high this afternoon of 41. 28 the overnight low. 41 the high on Saturday. By Saturday night, it looks like rain. And depending on your location, you might get some snow. No real accumulation of snow expected. On Sunday, New Year's Eve, rain and snow during the day, 38 down here in the valley. Continuing chance of rain and snow on into the 1 a.m. hour. You want to be careful out there driving. Overnight low around 30 in the valley. New Year's Day, the snow level expected about 2,800 feet. A high of 38, a low of 29. A continuing slight chance of rain. Rain mixed with snow Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Hey, if you don't own a green bag already, don't worry. You can get one for $10 down there at Easy Knit Fabrics here in Colville. No wind at all. Barometer still fairly high, 30.35. Starting the day off here in the valley at 36 degrees. Hello, the last day of 2023 that I'm going to be with you. I'll be back with you on Monday first, but it's going to do it for 2023. I'm Eric Carpenter, and this is KCVL KCRK.
Now, time for another Otis Advisory.
If you're, let's say, 16, then the Donkey Tribe thinks you are ready to vote. They're sure you'll vote for them, so why not? Donkey people know that when you're 16, you're a simple organism that they can buy off with some gummies and free shipping. They don't have a lot of other options. The children's vote is about the only thing left in the junk drawer of donkey politics, which is now mainly particle board. But here's the thing. Voting at 16 is like playing mumbly peg with the ballot. You never really know where the sharp end is going to land. Remember, there's a reason why glass blowers don't inhale. So, now picture yourself at 16, sitting there in your full upright and locked position. You've got the itch, but you just don't have the scratch. You enjoy miniature golf, but can't spell bankruptcy. You think mentally you're there, but still keep getting stuck on that refried or charro question. I know it's tricky. Now let's bring this to a boil. Imagine yourself voting at 16. Scary, isn't it? You picking up when I'm laying down? Look, Whispering Joe and his dark passenger giggles are getting desperate, so this might be the only move left. They wanted swipe left to be the new campaign slogan until they found out that meant delete. You know, the voice-enabled car isn't all that new. We used to just get in and say, giddy-up. Worked every time. This is how we Otis. I'll see you at the Peace March.